Gay Frog cereal. It's so tasty, healthy, and delicious. Make sure you get some today.
A few moments later.
I still love the cereal and the atrazine-infused milk, but I don't know what happened to me.
Has your water been acting a little suspicious lately? Does it taste like it took a wrong turn through a garden hose on the way to your kitchen? Well, don't panic. Introducing the Dual Carbon Gravity Water Filter.
Gee whiz, it sparkles like diamonds in the sunshine. No more of that yucky, murky tap stuff that tastes like it came straight from the old rusty pipes.
This water is so good.
It's the best ever.
I'm so glad. Fresh water is important.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Drink up.
We will.
Wow, that sure is a fine-looking water filter.
You know I'd never do you wrong, Lucy. This is top of the line, I tell ya.
Oh, I believe you.
Just you wait and see. I just know Ricky will love it.
I can't wait till he gets home.
He'll be so impressed.
Hi, honey. I'm home.
Come in the kitchen, dear. I want to show you something.
Oh, boy, that tastes great. You can always trust good old Alex.
Another satisfied customer.
I have been in a 28-year marathon battle with a globalist. I have come from nowhere to the very heights of politics, not just in America, but in the world. We are engaging the globalist at point-blank range in the information war. But I don't deserve the credit. Yes, I've persevered, but the listeners and viewers who support InfoWars are the real reason we've had this success. We're having now the greatest victories in the fight against the New World Order we've ever had. We are now entering the final mile of the marathon. And that's why today it's more important than ever to realize how important you've been in this fight and to continue in the efforts you've been carrying out and to intensify them. God bless you all. I salute you. I thank you. And I beg you to intensify what you're doing now because we are over the target and history is happening. The fight is my fight. It's your fight. It's our fight. God bless you all.
Specimens have been specifically calibrated for the spread of Alpha Gal, a permanent curse on those who feast on the flesh of mammals. Real meat is finished. My ticks and mosquitoes will make sure of it. Eat the synthetic slop or starve.
Looks tasty, doesn't it?
and your God-given freedom. We're live on AlexJonesLive.com, and if you want to fight, you've got one. Yeah!
Welcome to the War Room Live. It is July 23rd, 2026. I am your embattled host, Rex Jones, here in studio, AJN Live. Please repost, share live feeds, live broadcasts. We've got a huge news day for you today, covering, rounding up what I talked about with Suleiman yesterday, the full resumption of the conflict. In fact, the expansion of the conflict with the Bab al-Mandeb, with the Houthi faction as well. We're going to get into all of that. We're going to get back into Section 224, now Section 219 of the NDAA, as well as Section 612 that merges our intelligence community as well. It's not just the military that's involved. But I wanted to start off today because here's the thing. I do 3-hour morning show, New American Journal, every single morning, Monday through Friday. And every single time I'm getting ready to prep that show in the morning, I'm like, man, how am I going to fill this 3 hours? And by the time 11:30 hits and I'm watching the Alex Jones show on AJN Live or on Real Alex Jones on X, I'm already like, dang, I got a whole show to do this afternoon, which is why I'm so happy and so grateful to be here to do this, the hosting spot on War Room today. So let's go ahead and throw up the latest horror show out of Israel, which, of course, would be Ben-Gvir's Crocodile Pit. Now, you might think, like, Rex, that doesn't sound legitimate. That doesn't sound real. Trust me, it is. Let's show the Times of Israel writes about this. Let's get that up there. Ben-Gvir's Crocodile Prison Moat. Construction said already underway at Ben-Gvir's Prison Crocodile Moat. Far right minister's office confirms that digging has begun at a Keziah prison, despite objections from Nature Authority and Environment Ministry's legal counsel. Senior prison officials tour the crocodile farm in northern Israel. Crocodile farm? I mean, they're mass producing them? What, is this his version of a gas chamber? January 2026, a moat meant to hold crocodiles is already being dug at Keziah prison. Why are they digging a moat specifically to put crocodiles in it? What, is he going to be a wacky racer too? Is he Dick Dastardly or something? This is like what I like to call cartoon bad. It's as bad as you can be. Just like when he says he wants to burn all of Lebanon. That's also what I consider to be cartoon bad. Just like when he shoves flotilla aid workers down and holds them in struggle positions. I'd consider that to be cartoon bad. I'd consider it to be cartoon bad that he's been in the States very recently and he hasn't been arrested. The same, of course, with Netanyahu. It's kind of like the concept of like an international villain in like a James Bond movie, like diplomatic immunity or something. I mean, no one else gets to do this stuff. Even the Chinese with their like crazy human body anatomy, what are they called? Museums or whatever, where they have like real bodies they've picked apart. They're not even this proud of what they do. Digging for the crocodile moat is underway inside the prison around one of their special wings, a source on the regional council told the outlet. It's a moat about 560 feet long, and you can't see it from outside the prison. No one knows if there will indeed be crocodiles there, but preparations are being made. Well, if you're making preparations, it sounds all right. You bake the cake, you put the icing on it, you serve it. People are going to eat it. You build a crocodile moat that's 560 feet long, specifically designed for some sort of saltwater reptilian creature. Not going to put ducks in there to keep the prisoners that they rape and murder on record from escaping. They're probably going to put the Nile crocodile. Good grief. Good Lord. It reads like a joke. I'm going to keep reading it. The prison service is all set. The plan exists in the finest detail from the maintenance and care of the crocodiles. They'll take better care of the crocodiles than they'll take care of the prisoners. I mean, what the hell have we become? What the hell have they become? We fund this. We fund this project, by the way. They don't do anything without our express consent. It's a nation of 9 million people that we entirely finance their military and defense. You can say, oh, that's not true. That's not true. Well, they started a massive regional war. Whose missile and air defense would that be? That would be ours, right? That's all gone and depleted now in service of defending them. We pulled it from other allied nations like Japan and South Korea. Like, screw them, F them, I guess. Why are they important? Probably, you know, they don't have as much money, power, influence, can't do as much for, you know, I'm an American politician. I'm holding blood feasts. It's a good deal to make money with AIPAC. Fills my belly with blood. Yum, yum, yum. There's that whole thing, and it's psychotic, and the American public recognize it. And the more stories come out like this about the crocodile moat, where they're going to take care of the crocodiles and the crocodiles' resting cells. They're literally treating the reptiles better than the prisoners. And I guess that's what you get for Ben-Gavir. Can we show him at Al-Aqsa as well? Of course, I think you guys are familiar with this. I'm just doing a quick recap, but this is like earth-shattering global world news, so we do have to cover it again. Ben-Gavir, Cartoon Cartman 2.0, evil, real, and Jewish, by the way, kind of like a bizarro Cartman, if you will. He's leading thousands of settlers with guns into the Al-Aqsa Mosque and taking it over in preparation for demolishing it. Now they can say, oh, we're there to check and see if the weapons are around, you know, those dirty Palestinian Hamas bastards trying to kill us all. You know, as you kill them and rape them and kick them off their land and wear the lingerie of their women after you kill them, that's on record. You know what? Hold on. I'm kind of doing a curveball here, but I got a long period of time in this segment. I want to keep talking about Ben-Gavir, and I do want to show, and my dad went over it before, but I do want to show the settlers in Ben-Gavir showing up to the mosque, and I do want to cover that. Can we look for the video? Look this up. Destiny tells IDF to hide war crimes. If you just type that into YouTube, it'll come right up. Can we get Destiny? Stephen Bunnell. I just want to give another example of cartoon bad. Okay? Because when we say some of this stuff, it sounds so outlandish, you won't believe me, but it's all true. Destiny. Stephen Bunnell. World-renowned debater. The omni-liberal. This guy. He goes over to Israel and on video tells the IDF soldiers, he goes, look, when you guys videotape each other, you know, wearing the lingerie or the underwear, whatever he said, of the people left, you kick them out of their houses or take them away or kill them or whatever, just don't do that. Hey, just don't film it, man. They're all laughing, having a good time. Screw you, Destiny. I'd like to see you fight a Palestinian 14-year-old. I think you'd die. Seriously. But that's where we are, and that's who these people are. Go ahead and show the settlers in Ben-Gavir. Go ahead and show them around the mosque. I think we should have this by now. I can look for the clip number myself as well. Ben-Gavir, waddling down the street, loves to eat meat. Ben-Gavir. Let's see where it is. I thought that I had it, too. Ben-Gavir, he is a queer. Ben-Gavir. All right. So we have Ben-Gavir, but it's not just Ben-Gavir. It's also Smotrich. It's also Israel Katz, the defense minister. It's also the leader of the opposition party as well. It's Naftali Bennett, who wants a massive war with Turkey. It is Nazi Germany. It's worse than Nazi Germany because they have nukes. And anyone who says that's outrageous, let me pull into the bag of evil deeds they've done. Look at this. This is just one of them. Let me remind you, the Red Crescent, which is the Arab equivalent of the Red Cross in Gaza, clearly marked in ambulances after they had notified the IDF of where they would be. They were gunned down and execution style slaughtered in their, I forget what the nurses and doctors wear. What's that stuff called, crew? What's the outfit they wear? Scrubs. Killed in their scrubs, killed in the ambulance, whatever. The only reason why we know what happened after they lied about it and denied it was that it was all on video. And what you have here, we had a caller, I think he fought in the Battle of Fallujah, call in and talk about this in the second hour. That was a very powerful call. I really enjoyed today's show. And he made it clear. He said, look, this is like going into Vatican City and throwing the Pope out. You know, we killed their Pope. We killed their Ayatollah. Just think about all the slights and injustices stacked and stacked and stacked. You can say, I don't care about them at all. They have a false religion. They should just die. Well, you're going to care about 200 million people deciding they're going to get rid of you, right? And they didn't decide to get rid of you out of the blue. They actually wanted to be left alone at first. We killed their religious leader, who was actually the moderate who banned the nuclear weapon. Ayatollah wasn't the moderate. He was a demon. Whatever you believe, he signed the fatwa in 2003. That's why 19 intelligence agencies said this wasn't a real nuclear threat. And that's why whenever I hear that magic spell of Trump up there like that great golden lizard on the rock going, Iran must never have the nuclear weapon, he really should resign. He really should resign while he has a shred of dignity left. is absolute filth because he enables true filth like this Ben Gavir, who's trying to provoke a global nuclear conflict with this. That's what this represents. The Islamic hive mind, or whatever, the collective, it's referred to as the Ummah, right? And that could mean various things, various different like groups and whatever. But globally, the idea of like a global Muslim consciousness, right? This is how you create that. And all these people that are like, I'm a proud Islamophobe. I'm gonna play a crazy video later of a black pastor who's really funny. And I do agree with some of his points, to be fair. Just thinking about it, it's making me crack up. But this idea of we got to crush them before they crush us crushing them, us attacking them first, which is what has been happening for really the 20th and 21st century, that has created the situation we're in now. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy in the same way Iran must never have a nuclear weapon is a self-fulfilling prophecy. We literally, our governments, our countries speak these things into existence and make them happen due to their will. Because they're trying to do something that they're lying about. So, of course, the opposite is going to happen. Trump said he was going to come in and take care of peace, and now we're feeding people the crocodiles. Look at this. You know, that's probably not even scale. It's probably a lot bigger in real life. But that's what she said. Let's go ahead and go back to the rundown here. Let's go to, I wanted to play this, and let's play this in context. Were y'all able to find that other clip that I was talking about of Destiny, of Stephen Bunnell? Because I want to show that before I show the last moments of these four American soldiers. I want to show you what they were fighting for. Here we go.
I think Israel has unique issues.
Okay. All right, pause it. All right, didn't realize there were F-bombs in there. I apologize. I deserve to be beaten by the crew. All right, I'm very sorry about that. But here, you hear him say, you're committing the war crime. Just, hey, you leave the cell phone at home. Just don't video yourself doing the war crime. Now let's show clip number 7. This is what the last moments of the four U.S. soldiers were. Let's show, because they're fighting for, you know, Destiny and the IDF to be able to go there and, you know, wear the lingerie of the women that have been killed or captured or kicked off their land. Right. Not Destiny directly, but he supports that. He's on video supporting that. Let's go to clip number 7. This is, hey, you paid for it. You eat it, right? The soldiers are eating it, Destiny. You don't have to eat it. You're like Private Pyle. Just stand there and watch like a cuckold. Play it. Pretty cool. Just a metal box, not a real bunker. Oh, those IDF soldiers that Destiny was with, oh, they got better bunkers than this. You better believe it. This is just a shoebox. Your death howling in the sky, screaming for vengeance. Revenge, revenge, revenge. That's what the Iranian people say because we killed their Pope. And now innocent American soldiers are going to die in a war they can't even fight in. They are literally sitting ducks because of people like Destiny. People like Trump, people like Ben Gavir. That's kind of the tiered pyramidal structure. People like Misfit Patriots support this. People like Jake Hilton support this. People like Ben Shapiro support this. Anybody online you see toeing the line is not to be tolerated anymore. Liberal, 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 right? Die, die, die. No, I think it's 18 or 20, probably a lot more Americans. You're lying about that number, 100%. Murdered. No missile defense. If we have missile defense, it doesn't work. Killed by a $20,000 lawnmower. Sarah Gonzalez, Angel, Michael, Tyler. No more. No more of them. They don't get families. They don't get a future. But Destiny does, Ben Gavir does, Netanyahu does. They get to take a hot shower tonight. They get to eat good food. They get to make love to their woman or man or God knows what. Look at that, they're coming home. They're coming home. You know, maybe Destiny will visit the cemetery and pour one out. Actually, really, really makes me mad. Americans dying, hiding like mice in the desert. And I honor them by telling the truth about their murder, not by vain platitudes and saluting the troops. When the troops are a hostile, or not hostile, they're a hostage entity. They're a hostage entity that we, the people, are being, there's a knife up to our throat right now. All right. Some pretty heavy stuff, guys. Some pretty heavy stuff. Let's go ahead and get into the NDAA. I want to go ahead and play clip number, where is it at? I want to go ahead and play clip number 16 and then clip number 17 in a row. That's Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson.
I think 60 to 70% of America now that is under 50 years old that thinks this relationship with Israel is poisonous, which is the pure truth, and wants to do something about it. So it'll take time, and I'm afraid that in that time, a lot of bad things are going to happen. And Mike Johnson and Mitch McConnell and John Thune and others like them are going to have to bear the burden of history in terms of what they've done. They are, in effect, traitors. They are, in effect, traitors. Let me emphasize that word, traitors, because they have betrayed the United States. And Section 224 goes even deeper into it. And I'm quite sure that one's going to make it through, too. So we're looking at a Congress that is betraying the United States of America in a significant way with regard to national security. And I think with regard to domestic tranquility, because we're going to have at least close to, if not an actual civil war over this, if we don't do something about it.
And it's unquestionable that the Epstein business was heavily influenced, let me put it that way, by Mossad.
And so that's somehow emblematic on these huge geopolitical issues.
Yes, I watched Mossad take over the Pentagon in 2002. The Pentagon was infiltrated by Mossad. They did not need any identification to get through the rear entrance of the building. They went upstairs to Douglas Feith, the Undersecretary of Defense for Policy, the third most powerful man in the Defense Department. Occasionally, they went to the second most powerful man, Paul Wolfowitz, the Deputy Secretary of Defense, and they had run of the Pentagon. Donald Rumsfeld, the Secretary of Defense, said to my boss one time, hell, I don't run my building. Mossad does. And I mean,
that's Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson. He was Colin Powell's chief of staff. As serious and legitimate as it gets, he worked in multiple presidential administrations, and he's saying they run us. It's very simple. They've run us for a very long time. It's just, you know, the cost and the pain of all this stuff. It wasn't enough for us to notice. That's how decadent and spoiled and cowed we've become as Americans. We've got to wake up to that fact and not have a delusional arrogance about where we are and realize, you know, we're an occupied nation. And that's why I often say, you sitting there at home, I don't care if you hate the Muslims or whatever, like, you're the same as a Palestinian. You two are the exact same. The Palestinians have had everything taken from them but their dignity. We've had everything remain with us but our dignity. And I would say it's around approximately equal value that we've been deprived of, right? Think about the fact that your tax dollars have gone for decades to murder little children in genocides and ethnic cleansings that our nation denies. This is all one day already out there for the vast majority of the world, especially the global South, is aware of what we've done. It's you know, Ben Shapiro, it's quite ironic. He says facts don't care about your feelings. Well, when the real Holocaust numbers come out about what's happened to Gaza, about what's happened to Lebanon, about what's happened to Yemen, places like Somalia, all manner of nations that we've interfered with and destroyed. Libya used to have highest standard of living in Africa. Now they have a slave trade. It's estimated already, according to, I think it's a Brown University report, that we've killed 38 million people around the world with our sanctions since the 70s. So that modus operandi, that way of behaving, that world policeman archetype, which was never a world policeman, it was always a world profiteer, a world protection racket, a world mafia boss, that's coming to an end. Not even by the aggressive actions of other powers, but by the relentless need for the United States, U.S. Israeli empire, because of that projection of force, that 51st state, that capital, thousands of miles away, because they exist, we have to project the amount of force that we do. If we didn't have the impact that we had in the Levant, in the West Asia area specifically, then they wouldn't be able to survive, even with all the money or whatever, right? So we have to have that military presence to demonstrate that that artificial state has the firepower to survive. And now they want to make it very clear that our firepower is their firepower. That's what Section 224, the NDA, and Section 612, the intelligence merger, that's what it's all about. And I've seen some prominent people talk about this, and you know they have problems with it being called a merger, and they quibble with it. My thing is, if you're like some of the most prominent people out there that call out like international Jewry, world Jewry, the Jewish mafia, 100% real, if you do that, but then you also say, saying it's a merger is stupid. I don't like it. I don't like it. But saying it's a merger is stupid. Like, what are you doing? Like, what's the point? Like, you have an issue here that's palatable to a wide number of people to get aware on. You're just like, oh, well, they're just not high level enough to understand why it's bad, but it's not the end of the world. They're appointing an executive agent who is above everyone else at DOD. He is above every research and development, AI, quantum computing, missile defense, underground, whatever. And it's listed out in a way to be like, oh, look, it's like $50 million here, $100 million here. It's not that much money, guys. Look, we just spent $100 billion on the war. That is all a fugazi. It's not about the funding of these programs. It's about the authority over these programs. That's why I call it a merger. That's why Anthony Aguilar, Lieutenant Colonel, called it a merger. He broke it down very well. I've done like three shows on this. And then I get people in my comments that are like 105 IQ maxing, trying to be like, oh, that's a non sequitur. How could you say it's a merger? And it's just like, dude, like aren't you against world Jewry too? Like, you see everyone calling this out right now for what it is, and they're doing it to us? I don't know. It's just like stepping on a rake. I really don't get it. But let's get back into the clips. To reference Trump being an absolute psychopath, let's go to clip 25. And I want you to think about those dead Americans again. Angel, Tyler, Michael, and Sarah. Here, cut back to me. We will go back to that after the break. I think it's a longer clip. I didn't remember that. Thank you all for being here. Go to thealexjonesstore.com. Here's the thing. I'm in here. I'm doing the shows. Big reason why I'm able to do them is because I take that powerful methylene blue. And you can get it too. This is our flagship product. Over 80% reorder rate. You love it. Everyone loves it. Got it in capsules. Got the methylene red. I even got products, Power Plant and Methyl Drive, I made specifically to tag onto this to enhance it. So go to thealexjonesstore.com and get that flagship item. Get that blue. See you soon.
There's a massive sale going on right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Huge. Ultimate summer sale, 50% off Ultimate Power, Freedom Mango, and Patriot Punch. If you loved Turbo Force 10-Hour Clean Energy, this is basically the same formula, but even stronger with some other ingredients added that make it even better. Time released with all the key minerals and vitamins and cofactors. It is incredible. Methylene Red Capsules. This is a proprietary product that goes with methylene blue, but by itself supercharges your cells and your whole body as a stimulant, but doesn't feel like one with no letdown. It would take an hour to get into Ultra Methylene Red. The capsules are now in Ultimate Methylene Red. I should spend 5 minutes just telling you what this does. Go read the ingredients, ask ChatGPT or Grok about it. Ask them what these things will do for you. In fact, I did this with the methylene red when it came out 6 months ago. I want to do that again and just show you what it says about it. I mean, this is high-end stuff at a low price. You can get it for 50% off right now, methylene red capsules, introducing those. Mind-fueled nootropic energy shots, all 50% off. 40% off zeolite tincture, detoxify and go up for spike protein, and it's good for your whole body getting heavy metals out. Methylene blue tincture, 40% off. CMOS gummies, 40% off. Shilajit gummies, 40% off. Methylene blue gummies, 40% off. Ultimate chill, which is the kava and all the rest of it. You'll be totally calm, but also focused. That goes great with Ultimate Energy. You stack them. And a whole bunch of other big discounts as well. 30% off all apparel. Most of the apparel has like a 75% markup. If it's a small, it costs less, so it's 100%. When you buy like an XXL, it's less than 100% markup. It's like 75%. So when you have 30% off on the apparel, we're making like $5 on it. The widest selection of Patriot shirts of every different design, configuration. It is the widest selection. It's over 800 different shirts. It's ridiculous. The new line that I designed is, I think, pretty good. Rebel scum since 1776. The Betsy Ross flag, less 1984, more 1776 in muscle shirts. A whole bunch of other really cool stuff now at thealexshowstore.com. I love this lightweight so-called dress shirt, but it's a very special type of shirt from a great manufacturer. It's super lightweight, amazing. We now have the boxer shorts, and they're not boxer like underwear. You know, the classic boxer shorts that aren't long and aren't short. They're just kind of medium. They're my favorite type. I picked these out. I picked the brand. I said, this is the type of short I like. And it's you know, what everybody I see wears at the gym. I mean, it's just that they're great. And it's got a ring of stars with 1776 on the right hip. Very clean, very nice. We're adding a lot of new apparel at thealexjonesstore.com. And every order right now, and it's about to end in the next few days, gets a free mystery t-shirt. You just put your size in, you get a free mystery t-shirt with every order that's $29 or more at thealexjonesstore.com. That is a hell of a deal right now. We have all these pure Americana beauties. We've got the new white trash collection that we should pull up and show people. That's what I'm calling it, because I always see truckers and stuff wearing it. I mean that affectionately. But it's, you know, a beautiful Daisy Duke or beautiful blonde, beautiful brunette, you know, with 1776 across it, Texas flag, rebel flags, American flags, Gadsden flags. We got a whole bunch of these Texas Rebel limited edition vintage style t-shirt. I love it. These are obnoxious. If you're going to go big. There's a whole line of those bad boys with the beautiful ladies on them right now at thealexjonesstore.com. We have the very best shower filters with the highest ratings, cutting out the most garbage at the lowest price. We've got the silver collectible 250-year anniversary with the amazing, my favorite cross, Jerusalem cross. Those are going to be gone soon. Thealexjonesstore.com, and you stand with us, and you know that all the great work we're doing is because of you. You are the reason we're here. You are the InfoWar. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Well, I got more news for you. You know, we're always grateful when the peace president makes an appearance. You know, Donald Trump, the man who deserves 14 Nobel Peace Prizes for stopping 9,000 wars. He's currently got us in the Iran war right now. That's not a war, but it's also been going on for 47 years. And we might need to fight it for another 20 years, but don't worry, they're obliterated. They have no air defense. They have no Navy. They have no Air Force. It's all totally gone. Let's go to Donald Trump checking in with the dear leader.
Some of you are going with us to honor our heroes, and they are indeed great heroes, actually. They said, and they, all of them said very strongly, we cannot let Iran have a nuclear weapon. They won't have a nuclear weapon. So we're going to honor them.
I am Hades, and I speak for the dead.
No, they're doing that. That'll be released. You know what?
The great wizard. David Icke was right.
They're going to pay a big price. They're being decimated.
Is that report inaccurate?
Yeah, please.
Sir, what did you say to families of these fallen soldiers? When Americans are wrongly against this war, how do you ask them?
Well, Americans aren't against the war. A poll just came out. Americans don't want high gasoline prices, but they're not against the war. That just came out loud and clear in a poll. Nobody wants Iran to have a nuclear weapon. Do you want Iran to have a nuclear weapon? You think it's good?
Okay, pause it. All right, so what he just said there is, oh, Americans are not against the war. They're just against the high gas prices. No, I'm against the murder, and I know plenty of people that are as well. So that right there, also, I am Hades, and I speak for the dead. That's his version of I am the Lorax, and I speak for the trees. They all wanted Iran to not get a nuclear weapon. I guess those were their last words. I guess Trump, like the ghost of Christmas future, like the Grim Reaper, communicated with them right before their moment of death. And I'm grateful that the peace president is always there to provide us with assurances and information and tell us that they're still obliterated, so we got to hit him again. Like, just how does that work? And this is funny. It's almost become ripe enough. You know, sometimes when you buy fruit at the grocery store and you're like, man,
you know, this mango or whatever, or a banana is a great example. This banana is green. It's not ready to eat. You got to let it sit on the shelf for a few weeks. And my quartering debate with the Quarter Pounder and my debate with Andrew Wilson as well, they're reaching the stage where they're ready to go in the blender and get turned into some beautiful smoothies, some beautiful edits, some beautiful clips, because we had all the rich old men in the world that have been on the world for a long time, and you don't know what you're talking about, boy. All the presidents are bad. You think we ever had a good president? That was the Quartering's argument. The Quartering's argument, after saying things like glass Iran, bury them all, after, you know, such illustrious quotes as that, his defense was to come on my show and then claim that he wasn't a political commentator and that these were all jokes, even though he streams on Rumble every single day. So that was truly bizarre. And then we have Andrew Wilson, who had a more principled defense, but equally as psychotic and deranged, saying, well, Trump's, I don't like the quarterback, but you got to support the team. What do we have? You want a Mom Donnie in there? You want a Democrat? You know what they're going to do to all of us? Talking to me like we haven't been persecuted since before he started doing this. Like the arrogance of people that play unk like that, it really irks me. But making the point over and over and over again that this is somehow about to be over. Don't worry, we're going to figure it out. Oh, I think, I don't want to quote Andrew Wilson on this, but I think the Quartering even referenced, you know, 1973 War Powers Act. No, it's not even a full war yet. Remember, we were still at that stage. Now we're literally 100 plus days into the war, almost half a year of the conflict. And oh, you're respected. Oh, yes, yes. The opinions of the rich old men who bought stock in the 90s. So they're able to exist in an environment where me as a 23-year-old, I have to hustle and grind and sweat and bleed every single day to make payroll, pay my employees, to make postage, to make rent, to do all the things I need to do to have my business grow in the environment where it's the most hostile it's ever been. And we got the rich old men waddling around. We got the Mark Levin. We got the Dave Rubin. Dave Rubin, who buys his own children. We have this guy say the strait will never be closed.
But Rex, it's better.
It is.
They've got the draft geared up in December to be ready. You get to go fight and die like the Israeli finance minister said for Israel.
I know. It's time, right?
You ready to pay? You ready to die,
no.
You good slave?
I'm going to go to Mexico, and I'm going to find the finest millionaire woman, and she's going to love me. And we're going to live together.
Inflation, because of Ludnick and everybody, we got to get a trillionaire.
Yeah, you're right.
We got to retire on this woman. She's going to be worth at least $10 billion. That's like $5 million of yours.
What's Jeff Bezos' widow doing? What's she up to?
Anyways, Rex, let's get serious.
Okay.
You're going to marry Bill Gates'
ex-wife. No, I don't think so.
Hey, being serious here. Yeah. You get to go fight for Israel. Say thank you. And
thank you, Ben Gavir. Please don't throw me in the crocodile pit. Okay? You covered this morning. It was so funny. It's like a cartoon. You remember we used to watch Wacky Races?
Yeah.
With Dick Dastardly and Muttley?
He's always like doing his mustache?
Yeah, we got to do Ben Gavir and a crocodile. You know, Ben Gavir in a crowd.
No. A few days ago, he goes, here's my death chamber where I'm going to murder people.
Yeah.
He goes, look at my crocodiles. Then he's storming the Alaska Mosque to stir up trouble. And then now.
Well, hold on. Let's talk about this.
He's like, I have crocodiles who kill you. And then he's like saying, oh, yeah, the Americans die for us. Ha, ha, ha.
Well, let's talk about this for a second, Dad, because the Al-Aqsa Mosque, them raiding that essentially with the settlers coming in saying, oh, we're looking for weapons, that is a provocation to literally like 2 billion Muslims. So it's beyond insane. He's fomenting nuclear war. That's what that is.
If you see him in every video, he looks completely psychotic.
It looks like Cartman.
I mean, I don't want to be on whatever that guy's on. It's called demon possession.
Yeah.
I think we know where Beelzebub hangs his hat. I think he's got an address right in... Ben Gavir's heart.
The crocodile pit is next level Dr. Evil stuff for sure. Okay, I love you, Dad. I love you.
But I mean, he's literally like, I have crocodile, I kill you. He was on TV two days ago saying, everyone is scared of me. I like them being scared.
Right. He's definitely a character, for real. He's definitely, he knows what he's about, for sure. All right, Dad, this is tripping me out a little bit. All right, I love my dad. You know, growing up here in studio, I remember when he used to send Patrick to have me get suits at Joseph A. Bank. You know, look at this. Look at this. Holding prisoners in struggle positions, shoving them down, beating them down. These are people bringing rice and water to these starving Palestinians. Dad, come here for a second. I interviewed...
No, the point is he slaps a few of them around.
Sure.
The point is he wants to be a villain.
Sure.
He's like 400 pounds, guaranteed. Guaranteed they're Skidmore. I mean, he does not wipe his ass. Okay, so this is a giant 400-pound man, probably has like... foot-long hemorrhoids.
Well, he has, like, vampire teeth, too.
And then he just goes around slapping people in handcuffs.
Yeah, look.
Wow.
I mean, like I'm in charge. I'm the head minister.
Hey.
I beat people up in handcuffs.
Really quick.
I have crocodile pits.
Really quick. As Americans, are we going to take this anymore? Is this the Constitution?
Let me tell you, if you don't do what he says, you're going to hell. The Bible says follow insane leaders like King Herod that chopped off John the Baptist's head. Herod should have fed John the Baptist to a crocodile, and John the Baptist is in hell. You do what any Israeli leader says, or you go right to hell. Jesus didn't follow the orders of the Pharisees. He is in hell, as the rabbis say,
Lord have
in
mercy.
Semen and feces, and I agree with the rabbis. Jesus is in semen and feces.
Come on, Dad.
No, it actually says that.
This is what they say.
And John the Baptist is in hell for not doing what Herod said. And we must follow Ben Gavir. We must feed children to crocodiles, or you're of the devil.
We're being illustrative here, but that makes my stomach turn.
The anti-Israel people are so retarded too. They go, look, he really means it. I give up.
Well, the idea that we're going to sacrifice our nation and our values, not that we haven't already, but that we're going to further do it.
Beating up flotilla people while they're in handcuffs and threatening people with crocodiles looks tough.
Right.
This is just like psychotic with nuclear weapons.
Right. I love you, Dad. You're one in a million. You're a legend.
I want to visit his crocodile snake farm.
You know, hold on. Come here for a second. Come on. You can't leave just yet. We're having fun. Let's close out the 5 minutes like this. You remember when I was, I think it was I 13 or was I 14 when you sent me with my granddad to go alligator hunting? When did we do that?
We did it a few times.
Right. We went gator gar fishing too, but the first time we did it, we got the three gators. Remember that?
Yeah, then you got stuck in the 105 degree heat.
Yep.
With the hoverboat.
Yep, in the mud flat, because the guy's like, I'll show you what we can do. And then he gets us stuck, and then granddad and the guy have to go walk a mile to go get a piece of metal to winch us out, and I'm sitting there with a gun and three rotting alligators. So, you know, they should have been crocodiles. We should have been capturing them and selling them. Could have made a lot more money and selling supplements.
Well, don't lie. You're Ben Gavir's supplier.
Yeah, you know, hold on. Ben Gavir, we can get him at a cheaper, better price for you. I know you're Jewish, so you like that, right? We can find American alligators. Hey, shouldn't he buy American for this crocodile pit? Shouldn't he buy American, right? Shouldn't he buy American alligators instead of feral, disgusting Nile crocodiles? What do you think, Dad? Should he buy American? Where'd you go?
I know. Nile crocodiles are 10 times bigger than alligators.
Right.
Alligators barely ever attack humans.
But alligator's a friend until it eats your dog.
Saltwater crocodiles and Nile crocodiles are like 20 feet long and literally vicious.
They hunt humans. Brain. Yeah.
You know what? Maybe that's a disguise when he shapeshifts into one. He goes out into the pond at night.
David Icke was right.
Yeah, no, actually, there's Ben Gavir right there.
Look, David Icke
was
right.
That's what Netanyahu and his, at night, they all turn into that. Oh, God, the Trump.
Whoa, that's the Israeli Knesset. They're having a meeting right now. That's the Israeli Knesset right there. Love you, Dad. All right, we got Fishback joining us here in about 10 minutes. We're looking forward to that. I was supposed to have him on 2 weeks ago.
Oh, my God, the Fishback.
Yes, the fish is back. Well, here's the thing, Dad. There was a boomer that worked for Byron Donalds, the thug, and the boomer attacked a gentle boomer in a wheelchair that was just pro-Trump, pro-Fishback. So absolutely brutal, and I'm going to cover that
is
with...
Is that race over now?
No. No, it's happening in the fall.
No, it's a primary, though.
That's a good question. We'll ask him about that next hour. I love you.
I'm being sarcastic.
Okay.
Ask him.
You're my Ayatollah. How about that? You're my supreme leader.
It's actually a cover story.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Gavir knows he gets caught shape-shifting. Those aren't crocodiles. That's the Knesset.
Right.
It's a lounge, the Knesset lounge.
Right. Well, I mean, like, you can go view a miniature version of that at the San Antonio Zoo, you know?
Maybe Ben Gavir's there right now.
You're right. All right, let's cover Ben Gavir more if we're going to do more clips of him. All right, if we're going to talk about Ben Gavir this entire segment. Let's go to... What do we have here? Okay, let's go to clip number 11. Even on Fox News, they're calling out Netanyahu's plan. Let's go to clip 11.
Mr. Prime Minister, do you have a timeline by which you would like to see that U.S. foreign aid down to zero?
Yes. It's military aid, actually. We were talking about beginning it this year and going for 10 years, but we might shorten it. And that was something, by the way, that I did when I was first elected and came to Congress. We had financial, not military support, but financial aid to Israel. And I said on my first speech before the joint session of Congress that we're going to bring it down to zero. And we did that in 10 years. Every year went down until it finally disappeared. We could talk about that model. We're talking about that with the administration right now.
Well, Prime Minister, will that drawing down of foreign aid from the United States to Israel be compensated by the proposal to have a merging of some sort between our Pentagon and your military?
Yeah, I'm calling it from aid to partnership. So we take away the money that is given to Israel, which is one part. But the other part is we co-invest in equal measures in the new technologies that are needed to give our...
That's like saying, we're going to help you make a payment on your car. By the way, we own it now. That would be kind of the best way I could describe that. Oh, yeah, we're going to give you some money. We own your car now. Basically, we have a mortgage that we have to pay there.
Can I co-invest in Ben Gravier's crocodile pit?
Yeah, it's time to make some money.
Oh, they found really good video of him in cabinet meetings. Guys, B-roll, just with the audio off, and I'll say, oh, God, if I have crocodiles, that'll impress the women. Yes, I showed them death chambers last week. I stormed the Alaska Moth today. Oh, God, I love BB. Oh, Satan, enter me. I only have lesser demons inside me. I want Satan to possess me. Oh, I'm Ben Gravier. Oh, God, I'm going to scare you with my crocodiles. Look, he looks like he has Down syndrome, which is really sad for Down syndrome folks. But, I mean, there's lots of, oh, look, oh, God, crocodiles, yes. And I wonder, look at the other guy with his, I mean, these guys literally look like Nazis or something. I watched his old films of Nazis, how crazy they
looked. Well, Smotrich was like, his son was upset because he got severely wounded, and he's like, Dad, I'm not going to be able to keep killing him. He's like, don't worry, they'll all burn. You know, like, that's their whole attitude. And there he is. He does not happy enough there. He looks too normal as well. Well, can we get some footage of Mark Levin really quick? Can we get some footage of him?
He's always super happy.
Right, well, he's doing what he loves. Murder. Killing people. Genocide.
Imagine you show up and beat up women that were delivering rice on TV.
And they openly, on record, rape Palestinian prisoners.
Dude, Team America, where Kim Jong-un has a shark tank, he drops people in, it's because he's a villain. It ain't cool.
Well, it's an instruction manual to people like that. That's what we have to understand. All right.
He's dreaming about torture chambers and right in that shot and crocodiles, feeding children to crocodiles. Right there.
All right, look, this show's one in a million. Okay, this has never been done before. We pioneered and invented a new media style over here. So you're sitting here with me in the studio right now. That's pretty fun. Let's go to the thing that I retweeted. I captioned it, wow, so you guys will be able to find it. Just did it. It's a tweet from a senior Iranian MP referencing things that Araghchi has said before, declaring the era of Sykes-Picot long over. The day is not far when you lose Diego Garcia. Like your other colonies, the UK would be wise to reflect on the fragility of its own borders and to recognize that Iran's capabilities extend far beyond military options. So that's a message to the UK, because as you know, the UK has been involved in some of these things, especially MI6, and they're possibly going to get more involved, especially with the launches and whatnot of the planes. The era of Sykes-Picot, you have to understand, that's when the Europeans drew the lines that cut up these nations and cut up the world and put people like the Saudis in charge, right? So the Iranians are the herald of the end of that era. Another name for that era would be Bretton Woods. Another name for that era would be, you know, the 20th century, 19th century at the end, or whatever you want to say. But that's around the time period where you get this control. I highly recommend watching Lawrence of Arabia. That's the homework that I have to prescribe for today. You got to watch Lawrence of Arabia this weekend. This is like the oldest thing. Okay, they've been blowing up trains and doing terrorism and doing whatever. We've been funding the rebels, the tribes, whatever you want to call it. But it was only in the 20th century that we really refined our messaging and programming and control and really used the Saudis as a base to preach Wahhabist, Takfiri, Salafi, radical Sunni Islam. That's what it is, and that's what all these terrorists practice. Who invented that? Basically the CIA. So the CIA comes up with that, and we have our American military fight these fake proxy wars or prop up rebels or train them directly. I've interviewed people that have trained ISIS members. Okay, and then just say it on record. Special Forces, Matt Murphy, you name it. Okay, look at that. Look at that. But it's all in service of Ben Gavir, right? It's all in service of the archetype of this person, because the Israelis are the only ones that benefit from that mass scale terrorism. I think it was Wesley Clark. I don't want to misattribute a quote. Of course, 7 countries in 5 years. But it's also our stated mission not to have secular democracies in the Middle East. Look at Gaddafi. Look at Assad. Look at a number of other examples that you can point to. Syria, Lebanon, Libya would be three where I would start. Not full secular, but whatever. Right? You're allowed to practice other religion, high standard of living, whatever. They bring in the Al-Qaeda head chopper. They rename him. He comes out of prison for 5 years, speaking English and wearing a Brooks Brothers suit. Al-Shara, formerly Al-Julani, a man who's held human beings' heads in his hands, sprayed by Trump with perfume at the White House and told how masculine he is. So when we get to the idea of the Iranians and their Shia Islam and their radical self-sacrifice martyrdom and their cause, and you can point to the apocalyptic 12th Mahdi and all of that stuff as the caller that fought in the Battle of Fallujah referenced earlier today. Ultimately, we went over there and picked a fight with those people. The only reason why those people rebelled and became the Islamic Republic of Iran was because the only place they could meet was the mosque back in the time of the Shah and the secret police. And who do the secret police learn everything from? The Mossad. So it literally all boils back to Israel. And like that is the truth of the situation. But we have 90 million people where 1/3 of their population showed up on the street for the largest funeral procession, not just in modern history, but in world history. 30 million people, 45 million if you count Iraq and other Muslim areas, right? That's who showed up to his funeral. We killed the Pope. 30 million people showed up to his funeral in Iran alone. Do you think there's an amount of tonnage of bombs, an amount of bullets, an amount of lives that we could extract from these people to, you know, end this conflict and make them capitulate, make them bow down? You know, they lost 400,000 people over 10 years fighting a brutal war against Iraq that we funded. Right. We gave Saddam chemical weapons to use on the Iranians, which he did. You can literally watch veterans of these wars talk about this stuff on video. It's all on the record. And then we turn around. We call Saddam Hussein the terrorist because he had the chemical weapons that we gave him. He didn't even have them anymore. Same thing in Syria with the fake chemical weapons attack, which pretty much everyone who's a high level analyst says is not real. It's a fugazi. Right. Never happened. We have Trump, of course, firing the missiles into Syria in 2018. That was the beginning of the worm turning fully. Now, I'm not a fan of things like the Abraham Accords because they're dastardly and they normalize a nation that is an apartheid state. But at the same time, you can point to the first part of Trump's first term as being generally good, right? And I would just say, in general, his foreign policy was better than anyone else's because he didn't start any new wars in his first term, right? And that is true. It's a complete opposite of what he's done now. It's a big reason why I was co-opted and fooled. You know, I really regret that now. But when he shot the missiles into Syria on false pretext, that was a warning to everyone about what would happen in the future and how easily the United States of America could be maneuvered. Now, you can point at a variety of corrupt individuals in our government that have done heinous military actions and war crimes, all of them. George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, you name it. I mean, think about the bombing of Yugoslavia, right? Think about Bill Clinton just dropping bombs for, I think, like 72 days for no reason. Like, this has a precedent, but we've never had a person who's so unashamed at being, you know, the most blood-filled liar that we've ever seen. That's Donald Trump. And you can't say that he's not, because he says that all the soldiers that died, their dying wish is that Iran would not have a nuclear weapon. I think their dying wish was to get the F home. It's not that complicated. No one wants to fight in these banker wars, these Zionist wars, these Jewish wars. No one wants to do it anymore. How are you going to motivate me to go out to the Middle East and kill myself? You can't. Like, the prospect of joining the military. I'm a young man. I'm 23 years old. I went to the Marine recruiter's office. They put down tags on the table about dignity and honor and diligence and all that stuff. And I was like, man, I've been yelled at enough in my life. I don't need this. But that's my opinion. But at the time, I really wanted to join. I was seriously thinking about it, considering it. Never. Now that I know what I know about Ukraine, about all these other wars I've covered over the course of my life, especially about Israel, because here's the thing. I'm not dying for another country. If we were invaded, if we had to defend ourselves, absolutely. But it is not my role to defend an ally nation. I don't, screw them. I don't care. Why should I care? I want, you know, a super sexy wife. I want to have kids. I want to have a big house. I want to have life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. I want all of my fellow compatriots to have the same thing. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what race you are. I don't care what gender you are, religion, you name it. I want us all to have unfettered and total prosperity. And I believe in that domestically at home. And you cannot tell me after we spent $10 trillion on all this garbage over the past 30 years, probably even more money, that we couldn't have had that for that price tag. And I always hear this thing from people. They go, I don't want to give anyone a free lunch. No free lunches on my part. I got to work and earn. I earned it the way I earned it. The situation we're in is so bad right now, none of us know what's been taken from us. And the standard of living we should have, meaning the price that things should be, is completely bonkers. It's out of this world. We should be living with cheap energy, cheap food, cheap clothing, cheap electronics. Everything should be available and open to the public. The only reason why it's not is artificial scarcity. It's COVID when they shut down the world. It's the Iran war when they shut down the world. It's the Ukraine war when they shut down the world. It's the future Taiwan war where they shut down the world. We never benefit. It's always more war, more death, more murder, more war, more death, more murder, more war, more death, more murder. That's all it ever is. We don't ever get anything domestically at home. You know how much it would cost to have childcare? $140 billion a year. I don't want the government watching my kids. Not in my backyard, not in my country. Would you like a $5,000 tax credit to homeschool your kid? Because that's the same amount of money. Like, I'm sorry. Seriously, all you people that want to hold to these, you know, it's my complex political paradigm. And if you disagree with me on one issue, you're cooked. You're an enemy agent. You're blah, blah, blah. We need a big tent, people. And the big tent is that nobody can afford to live anymore and nobody's living anymore because Americans are dying in the Middle East for no reason. No reason at all, except for Ben-Gavir. So just throw him up to end the segment. We'll just look at his face and Heil Hitler. So just go ahead and throw that up really quick, if we can. Just little old Benny Gavir, you know, waddling around the desert, smacking women in the head, all that stuff. No more of that. We're going to get back into it next segment. Stay with me. We got Fishback coming on the air. You want to stay with me now. War Room, Rex Jones News on Twitter, Instagram. Follow me now, Rex Jones News on Twitter, Rex Jones News on Instagram.
Folks, I'm Dr. Bigley. Today's presentation will be about methylene blue and you.
Dr. Bigley, what does methylene blue do?
Great question, Billy. It has to do with your mitochondria, the powerhouse of your cells. Let's bring out the mitochondria now!
Right.
As I was saying, methylene blue supercharges your mitochondria, which does wonders for your mental clarity, stamina, and overall pep. Just look at him go!
Gee, Dr. Bigley, he must have drank a lot of methylene blue. He was bouncing off the walls.
Right you are, Billy. He sure drank a lot. Let's continue, shall we?
Billy, did you know that methylene blue can cure communism?
No, sir. Can I see?
Why, certainly, Billy. Take a look over there.
Behold, Ivan, a Ruski doggedly determined to undermine our way of life. Careful, Billy. He bites. Oh. Look, vodka, potato hooch. Watch. The communism is slowly leaving his body.
Wow, the methylene blue cured the red right out of him.
So, how do you feel?
Gee, Doc, I don't know what got into me. I feel like $1 million now. Say, where can I get some more of that blue stuff in case I become retarded again?
You can find it on the alexjonesstore.com.
What does .com mean?
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.